Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Murder Mile, a true crime podcast and audio-guided walk featuring many of London's untold, unsolved, and long-forgotten murders, all set within 1 square mile of the West End. Today's episode is about Marta Ligman, a caring daughter, loyal friend, and devoted girlfriend, who dreamed of being a mother, but died at the hands of her jealous, controlling, an abusive boyfriend. Murder Mile contains descriptions of abuse, distress, and death, which may offend, as well as realistic sounds, so that, no matter where you listen to this podcast, you'll feel like you're actually there. My name is Michael. I am your tour guide. And this is Murder Mile. Episode 22, Canal Killers, Part 2, Marta Ligman. Today, I'm on my little boat, chugging along the final stretch of the Grand Union Canal, in an area known as Little Venice. With a cup of tea in one hand, a Belgian bun in the other, and the ship's tiller being steered by my big round butt cheeks. Ah, Little Venice, I hear you sigh. It sounds so romantic. And it is. Sort of. But unlike the real Venice, with its myriad of art galleries, theatres, museums, cafes, restaurants, and architectural marvels, all spread across a labyrinthian canal system of interconnecting waterways, Little Venice only has one canal, one ornate bridge, one towpath, two good pubs, one fine restaurant, one okay-ish cafe, and no gondoliers at all. In fact, here, you can't even buy a cornetto. Little Venice is so short that when tourists arrive, after just a 2-minute walk, having mistakenly headed towards the horror of Westbourne Park, instinctively tuck their purses into their pockets, cash in their socks and credit cards wherever they have a slot, as the locals wave them off shouting, "Go back! Go back! The muggers are awake! They can smell your money!" The tourists stop and say, "Oh, is that it?" Little Venice is a mishmash of millionaire shag pads and council flats, dumped at the arse end of the choking fumes of Paddington Station, with the skies full of cranes, the grass verges strewn with dog shit, and the towpaths splashed with piddle and plop, as a slew of boaters decant stinking cassettes of fecal matter from their boat's loos into a vast fetid pit of willy waste, vaggie splash, and steamy bum lumps. Oh yes, this is exactly like Venice. Then again, romance is vital to sustain any relationship. It's the fuel that keeps the spark alive, along with large doses of love, honesty, compassion, and above all, trust. But on the afternoon of Sunday the 10th of May, 2015, in the very heart of Little Venice, life stood still and the romance died. As floating in the water, something heavy thunked against the steel hull of a canal boat, marking a violent end to a deadly relationship and the death of Marta Ligman. In 1993, just 3 years after the fall of communism in the former Soviet blocs of Eastern Europe, Martusia Ligman, also known as Marta, was born in the small village of Czetziewiec in north-central Poland. Raised by her beloved mother, Ava, doting father, and beloved brother, Lukas, in a modern seven-bedroomed house, Marta had a joyous upbringing which was full of good health, humour, happiness, and best of all, a loving family. Being a small village of just 520 people, surrounded by thousands of acres of farmland, fields, and forest, whose most notable feature was a 320-metre-tall Soviet-era radio mast which dominated the flat skyline, although Czetziewiec was a nice place to raise a traditional Polish family, to a modern Polish girl like Marta, who shunned communism and embraced capitalism, being more than 200 miles from the capital city of Warsaw, her hometown felt like a vast empty wasteland. On the 1st of May 2004, along with Cyprus, the Czech Republic, Estonia, Hungary, Latvia, Lithuania, Malta, Slovakia and Slovenia, and later Bulgaria and Romania, Poland, having become one of the wealthiest and most progressive countries in Eastern Europe, joined the European Union, which allowed the free and unrestricted movement of all the European citizens to and from all countries, including the United Kingdom. Described by those who knew her as the most beautiful girl, so popular, so kind, always laughing and joking, as well as petite, calm, and always polite, Marta dreamed of moving to London, having a good job, a nice home, and starting a family with a loving husband. In 2008, aged just 16 years old, Marta met a handsome man in an internet chat room. And although he was 11 years her senior, he had a steady job, a beaming smile, and romanced her with sweet talk, heart-shaped emojis, and tales of his new life living in London. In 2012, having packed a large black suitcase, Marta excitedly hopped on a 2-hour flight to Heathrow to join her beloved boyfriend. Her dreams were coming true. But 3 years later, she would be dead. Marta started her new life in Harlesden, northwest London, a lower working-class enclave which, although fiscally poor, is a culturally rich former village, complete with a diverse mix of Somali butchers, Eritrean cafes, Russian bakers and Irish pubs, as well as the Delicia Polish delicatessen on the high street, where she worked as a cashier 6 days a week. With bright red hair, a warm smile and a cheeky face, Marta was not only popular, but she was also a little ray of light who was easy to spot. But sometimes, her smile would slip. Her playful laugh was muffled, and her beautiful face would be marked with cuts, scrapes and swelling, as her bright blue eyes were hidden by dark black bruises. Her dream had turned into a living nightmare. And his name was Tomasz Kocik. Being tall, handsome, and toned, with bright blue eyes, funky spiked hair, and a smooth yet rugged look, Marta was instantly smitten with Tomáš Kocik. And as their love blossomed, their finances grew, and he held down a steady job as a forklift truck driver for a construction company. Marta and Kocik moved into the ground floor flat of number 5 Buckingham Road, just off Harleston High Street. With a talk of wedding bells and babies. But after 3 years of living together, the relationship had soured. Not just because of Tomáš's addiction to amphetamines, the addiction of which includes sleeplessness, anxiety, paranoia, hostility, and aggression. Not just because of Tomáš's ever-increasing sexual appetite, which had gone from pornography, bondage, and sex games, to try and coerce his unwilling girlfriend into group sex. But because, by spying on her, stalking her, searching her social media for evidence of infidelity, and demanding to see the deli's CCTV to prove that she had been there at work all day. As Tomáš had become more possessive, controlling, and jealous, his violence towards Marta increased. Shortly before her death, Marta had changed her status on Facebook from in a relationship to it's complicated. On Monday, the 27th of April, 2015, her boss received a text which read, "I'm so sorry. I have to go to Poland. My mum is sick." Which was uncharacteristic of Marta, as being so polite, honest, and living just a few houses away, she would either call up or pop in to see her boss face to face. On the evening of Tuesday, the 28th of April, 2015, Marta called her mother, Ava, in Poland, which she would do every day without fail. But as her bruises got blacker, her face grew more swollen, and her fresh cuts struggled to heal, so Marta put on an ever-increasingly braver face to protect those she loved from the truth. That was the last time that Marta Ligman was heard from or ever seen alive. At 2:30 p.m. on Sunday the 10th of May, 2015, almost 2 weeks after Marta's disappearance, just a few yards shy of the Lord Hill footbridge in Little Venice, something heavy thunked against the hull of a moored up canal boat. Expecting either litter, a log, or a canoe, the startled owners peeped over the bow of their boat to spot a large black suitcase, totally submerged and floating in the water. A sight which is not unusual to see. Except, spouting out of the zip was a shock of bright red hair. With no purse, no ID, and no obvious birthmarks, the police were puzzled as to who this woman was. All they knew was that she was a white European woman, in her early 20s, 5'2" tall, roughly 8 stone in weight, with bright red dyed hair. But there was no missing persons report which matched that description. And with her petite frame being in a severe state of decomposition, whoever had tucked her tiny corpse into the fetal position, wrapped her in a white curtain, a set of black bin bags, and had dumped her body in the Grand Union Canal, had done so 7 to 10 days earlier. on Monday the 11th of May 2015, 24 hours after the young woman's body had been discovered, and with her death splashed all over the news. Tomasz Kocik reported to the police that his girlfriend, Marta Ligman, was missing. A positive ID was made, and Tomasz confessed to unlawfully dumping her body in the canal. In the subsequent inquiry, in his defense, Tomasz would later state that on the evening of Wednesday the 29th of April 2015, having finished his shift as a forklift truck driver, Tomasz had returned to their ground floor flat at number 5 Buckingham Road in Harlesden to find Marta lying on the sofa, pale and unresponsive. Fearing the worst, Tomasz laid her limp body on the floor and fought to resuscitate her, pumping her heart with his hands and fighting to breathe the life back into the lifeless lungs of his beloved girlfriend. But by then, she was already dead. Owing to shock and panic, Tomasz didn't call the police. He couldn't. Her death was partially his fault. As with both Marta and Tomasz leading a very active and varied sex life, which included roleplay, bondage, and sadomasochism, as well as spankings, beatings, and mild torture, all of which was mutually agreed physical violence between two consenting adults, as well as the recreational use of stimulants to increase their stamina and sexual libido. After a 4-day sex session between the 4th and the 28th of April, having taken large quantities of amphetamines, Marta Ligman, who was just 5'2" tall, 8 stone in weight, and had various health problems, had suffered a sudden heart attack and died. That night, being racked with guilt at not having stopped her, terrified that he would get the blame for her accidental death, and that, having purchased the amphetamines, that he would be charged with her manslaughter, Tomasz pulled from the loft a large black suitcase, unfurled a white curtain, a reel of black bin bags, and set about disposing of his beloved girlfriend's body. Of course, that was his version of the story. But the evidence, the autopsy, the CCTV footage, and the wealth of witness statements would tell an entirely different story. This is what happened to Marta Ligman. And I warn you now, it is not easy to listen to. Sometime between the evening of Wednesday the 29th of April and the morning of Friday the 1st of May 2015, 23-year-old Marta Ligman, a petite woman with a sweet smile and a kind heart, was beaten unconscious by the man who supposedly loved her, Tomasz. In a sustained assault lasting anywhere between a few minutes, a few hours, or even a few days. In a rage fueled by a lethal mix of amphetamines and jealousy, he repeatedly pounded his cowardly fists into the bruised, terrified, and swollen face of a woman almost a foot shorter than him and half his weight, until she was unrecognizable, having inflicted multiple fractures to her face, hands, and ribs. It was a brutal attack which should have killed her, but didn't. Believing she was dead, Tomasz pulled from the loft her large black suitcase, wrapped her body in curtains and bin bags, folded her limbs and torso into the fetal position, her legs pressed tight to her chest, her head tucked into her knees and her arms pushed down to her feet, and stuffed her into the canvas suitcase, zipping it shut, a sprig of her bright red hair peeping out of the top. How long she remained inside that suitcase, nobody knows. But after the brutality of the initial assault, being confined in such a restricted space may have proved fatal. But what her autopsy couldn't confirm was, whilst inside the case, whether Marta was dead, dying, or unconscious. In the early hours of Friday the 1st of May 2015, at 6:30 a.m, Tomas wheeled the 3-foot-high and 2-foot-wide black canvas suitcase out of his front door at No. 5 Buckingham Road, along the residential street, which was full of families, postmen, and eager commuters, barely an hour after sunrise, and dragged it left towards Nightingale Road and right onto Scrubs Lane, its plastic wheels buckling under the weight. Amazingly, he wasn't stopped, spotted, or even arrested. But then again, what's so unusual about a man frantically dragging a weighty suitcase towards Willesden Tube Station? Nothing. Nothing at all. And so as he lugged the overloaded suitcase more than half a mile down Scrubs Lane, passing motorists and CCTV cameras, as he reached the top of Old Oak Bridge, he hauled the heavy bag down onto the towpath, out of view, and into the quiet and seclusion of the Grand Union Canal. Unlike Little Venice, this stretch of the canal doesn't attract tourists, boats, or even people. It's an ugly eyesore in an industrial part of the town, and with his evil actions disguised by the dark shadows of the Old Oak Bridge, as well as the buzz of traffic, the rumble of trains, and the drone of a nearby waste recycling facility, Tomas was unseen and undisturbed as he sunk the suitcase into the canal. As before, having been beaten, trapped, and dragged over half a mile in an almost airless suitcase, once again, the autopsy couldn't confirm whether, as the suitcase was submerged into the water, whether Marta was dead, dying, or unconscious. But having brought along a long stick, just in case, Tomas proceeded to prod the large dark suitcase, causing air bubbles to rise to the surface, as the body of his girlfriend sunk further under the water. Having destroyed her bank cards and Polish ID, by cutting them up and burning the tatty fragments on the towpath, with his trousers being soaking wet, Tomas returned home to No. 5 Buckingham Road, got changed into a clean set of clothes, and then headed off to work as if nothing had happened. People disappear all the time, so I guess he thought that no one would notice. I guess he thought that he had covered his tracks. And I guess he was arrogant enough to think that he could bluff his way out. But what he didn't count on was, with Marta being so friendly, popular, and easily recognisable, that the moment she wasn't there, people noticed. Using her mobile, Tomas updated her Facebook profile, concocted a story for her friends and family that Marta had left him, packed up, and returned to Poland. Having added the unlikely coda that he wasn't going to follow her, and that he wanted to give her some space. even going so far as to text Marta's boss at the Polish deli, using Marta's phone and identity to say, "I'm sorry, I have to go back to Poland. My mum is sick." Which he had done before she was even dead. But Marta's mother, Ava, wasn't sick. On Thursday the 30th of April 2015, having not received her daily phone call from her daughter for 2 days, Ava was worried. And getting no reply from either of Marta's phones, she called Tomasz. Blatantly lying to her distraught and desperate mother, Tomasz, playing the part of the lovesick boyfriend, told her that he had kissed Marta goodbye, she went to work, and when he returned home, she had gone. He didn't know why. He texted her, but he got no reply. All of which he said to Ava, as lying next to him was her dead, dying, or unconscious daughter, folded up in a large black suitcase. With Tomasz being unwilling to look for Marta, having claimed that she needed space, time to think, and that she would come back when she was ready, Ava contacted Magda and Andrea Ligman, her cousins who lived in the United Kingdom, who fruitlessly searched everywhere they thought Marta could be. And as Magda and Andrea desperately combed the city streets, eager to find missing Marta, Tomasz couldn't help but be the cold, callous, and self-absorbed bastard that he always was. As using his dead girlfriend's phone and identity, he pestered Anna Modrzejewska, who was Marta's closest friend, with an uncharacteristic volley of texts, which not only suggested that Marta was still alive, but that the 22-year-old attractive brunette should join them for some hot fun in a three-way sex session. Being creeped out and uncomfortable, Anna ignored the messages, but the texts kept on coming. On Monday the 11th of May 2015, a full day after the discovery of Marta's unidentified body in the Grand Union Canal in Little Venice, following pressure from her distraught family, Tomasz Kocik finally reported his girlfriend missing, almost 2 weeks after she was last seen alive. And naturally, Tomasz was the police's prime suspect. That same day, 34-year-old Tomasz Kocik of No. 5 Buckingham Road in Harlesden was arrested and charged with the murder of 23-year-old Marta Ligman, with all of the evidence pointing to him being a man who was jealous, controlling, and abusive. And yet, throughout these years of systematic emotional, mental, sexual, and physical abuse, at the hands of an unloving, uncaring, and drug-fueled sadist, Marta never spoke up, she never sought help, she never told her family, and she never got out. Marta had a dream. It began 3 years earlier, back in the small village of Czechiewicz, as she packed her worldly possessions into a large black suitcase. At the inquest held at the Old Bailey, pathologist Dr. Nathaniel Carey concluded that because bruising can only occur when a person's heart is beating and their blood is circulating, as Marta's body showed signs of hypothermia, having been subjected to the cold for an extended period of time, and as her death was listed as being caused by a blunt trauma to her torso and limbs, that this injury may have been sustained in either the initial frenzied attack by Tomasz, being beaten whilst in the suitcase, being dropped as the case was dragged half a mile, or having been submerged, that her body was hit and run over by a canal boat, suggesting that throughout the entire ordeal, that she may have been alive. Having given his testimony that Marta had died of an accidental overdose after a four-day drug-fueled bondage sex session, an event which may have led to Marta's death being recorded as death by misadventure, and Tomas being sentenced to the lesser charge of the unlawful disposal of a body, the jury didn't believe his lies, and having deliberated for less than a day, Tomas Kocik, an obsessively jealous and controlling boyfriend with a long history of violence, was found guilty of murder on the 27th of November 2015. He was sentenced to serve a minimum of 18 and a half years. On Tuesday the 8th of March 2016, to mark International Women's Day, Labour MP Jess Phillips paid tribute in Parliament to the Counting Dead Women Project, an organisation set up to share the harrowing stories of murdered women. She stated, "In 2015, a woman was murdered in the United Kingdom every 3 days. Women murdered by men that they should have been able to trust. Commonly women are murdered by their partners, husbands and boyfriends, but also in some cases by their fathers, their sons and their brothers. We wish to give a voice to honour the women who died." One of the 120 women she named was Marta Ligman. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to Murder Mile. If you are the victim of domestic abuse, whether a man, a woman, or a child, if you know someone who is in an abusive relationship, or you have inflicted violence against a loved one, never be afraid to speak out, as professional help is only a phone call away. Murder Mile was researched, written and performed by myself, with the main musical themes written and performed by Eric Stein and John Books of Cult with No Name. Next week's episode is part 3 of our Canal Killing series, this time featuring the mysterious death, disappearance and disposal of Paula Fields. Thank you for listening, and sleep well.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello? Hello? Oh, hello! Hello, friends. Welcome to Extra Mile. For those of you who heard this last week, this is the special secret piece of Murder Mile that I leave at the end of each show. I'm not going to shout about it. I'm not going to tell people about it. This is really just something for you lovely people who are kind of thinking, oh, why is there a bit extra at the end? And you want to know more. So what I'll do each week, I'll tell you a little bit more about the case, some of the interesting things that have happened. And this is just for you guys. It won't appear anywhere on social media. This is just a special thing for you. So this case, the Marta Ligman case, I first became aware of this. I didn't drive over the body, if that's what you're wondering about. But I was actually cycling along the canal where I live, and I saw the police had roped off the area in Little Venice. I thought it was probably just a stabbing. You tend to get a lot of stabbings in London at the moment because there's a lot of numpties out there who seem to think that carrying a knife is a clever idea. Absolute dickheads. Anyway, it wasn't. They discovered the suitcase which contained the body of Marta Ligman. Fascinating case. Definitely something that I wanted to include in Murder Mile. Unfortunately, it was outside the remit because it was originally Soho. But because we've got the Blackout Ripper coming up soon, and as you'll see, he moves across London quite a lot, I felt it was time to start opening up Murder Mile and creating some new Murder Mile areas. So once in a while, we'll start jumping around just so you don't get bored of hearing about Soho. So the Marta Ligman case, fascinating. Obviously, there's no National Archives file for this because it was only 2015, which means we won't get access to any good information for at least another 50 to 70 years. So I had to use a lot of press reports, but also first-hand information. Halsden is a place. I used to live in Halsden. Before I moved onto a boat, I was actually living in an ex-old people's home. I know, it was a really weird place. I was living in the administration office of an old people's home, and it freaked me out a bit because you obviously know that a lot of people have died there. A lot of old people have died. And I'm a bit freaked out by things like that. I don't believe in ghosts, but I get easily freaked out. So I know Halsden really well. I know Buckingham Road really well. And I know the Polish Deli as well, because I used to go there a lot. And I don't remember seeing Marta, but do you know what? I probably did. I probably did see her. So the press never mentioned what house number they lived at Buckingham Road. That was simple for me to solve. I went to Buckingham Road. I started walking around, and an old lady came up to me and asked if I was lost. I told her I was looking for the house that Marta Ligman used to live at, and she pointed to it. She went, "It's number 5. Job done. That's simple detective work. Ask a person. Sometimes it really is that simple. With this case as well, obviously I did a bit of physical research as well. With the Sebastiano Magnanini, after the case from last week, you remember that because he was about 15 stone in weight and they pushed him to the canal in a trolley, that I put 31 bricks in the trolley to replicate the 15 stone that he weighed. I wanted to try and replicate that experiment again this time with trying to work out how Tomasz got Marta from the house to the canal in a suitcase. And I actually thought to myself, well, this is going to be easier because Sebastiano is 15 stone. Marta is, they said between 7 to 8 stone. So I put 8 as my kind of, I did it at the top end just to make sure. I thought this is going to be easy because it's the same distance, but it's half the weight. Big mistake. Firstly, Sebastiano Magnanini was pushed. Sebastiano Magnanini was pushed to the canal half a mile in a trolley, which has wheels, which means it's a lot easier. Marta Ligman was dragged in a suitcase to the canal. And the problem is most suitcase wheels are only plastic. They're only used to carrying about 20 kilos, maximum that. So already they'd started to buckle as I was using them. So what I did was to replicate Marta's weight. Because I hadn't got any bricks, there was none available, I needed to do shopping anyway. I went to the pound shop. They had loads of really, really cheap cans. each tin can of like things like soup and beans and things like that normally weigh about 400 grams. I apologize. So to work out how many tins that would be, to put into the suitcase to replicate Marta's body, which is 8 stone, that was 125 tins. Yeah. That was a lot of tins. In fact, because I've worked out now, because a human body is more dense than a tin of, like a tin of beans, I couldn't get all the tins into the suitcase. So I had to put some into the backpack I was holding. So I did that. I put all the tins in there, 125 tins. I dragged the suitcase from number 5 Buckingham Road down to the canal, past the bus station, as Thomas, the same route that Thomas would have taken. It's a journey that should take about 10 minutes if you're walking it, but weighed down so much, it took almost 30 minutes. And I stopped a lot. It was hurting. My hands were hurting. My arms were hurting. I had to keep swapping hands. Sometimes I had to stop. I tried pushing it, and you can't push anything that heavy. The wheels had started to buckle, so the base of the suitcase had actually started to scrape along the pavement. It was difficult. It was incredibly painful, and my back, which is not always in good condition, my back was absolutely screwed for the next couple of days. So, yeah, it was difficult. Interesting experiment, but very difficult. But that's the things I do to make Murder Mile as realistic as possible. I think that's the best way to do it. If you can walk the murderer's route, if you can try and, within legal ramifications, try and do what they did, it kind of makes it more real. It makes it more visceral. It makes it easier for me to write. So that was the Marta Ligman story. Quite a depressing one this week. I think there was no other way to tell it, though. It was a very sad story about a very lovely lady with hopes and dreams who was badly abused by a brutal boyfriend. And if only she could have got out. If only she would have talked to someone. But she didn't. And unfortunately, she died. So we'll be back next week doing another canal-based murder. This one's another interesting one. I think this was going to be a four-parter of canal murders. The fourth one is a little bit too far out of our square mile. So I probably won't do episode 4, which means we will get to the Blackout Ripper even quicker than expected. So after you listen to this one, we'll do one more canal one. Then we'll dive straight into the Blackout Ripper, which is a fantastic story. That was the Extra Mile. Hope you enjoyed that. Have yourself a good day or good evening or whatever you're doing today, and I'll catch you soon. Have a good day. Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.